we're about 6 years out from when the crisis began. I'm wondering if you can start by talking about some of the long-term health impacts that we're starting to see in children.
As a pediatrician in Flint, I have the absolute privilege of caring for our Flint kids, and they are brave and strong and smart and resilient, and they have really tried to not only recover but thrive from this crisis. But I think the question that you asked me is probably one of the most common questions I get asked. Like, you know, it's how are kids doing? Like, everybody wants to know. And we're trying to answer that question in a very objective way. And that's why we've created something called the Flint Registry. The Flint Registry is this massive CDC-funded project to identify folks who were exposed to this crisis, but most importantly, get them connected to the resources so we don't see those consequences. But what it tells us is that there are long-term, ongoing needs, and that this work that we are doing to mitigate this crisis is also needed to be long-term.
Talk to me about lost trust, because the state has said, hey, we're meeting these federal regulations in terms of lead in the water, and a lot of folks in Flint still say, I don't trust the water that's coming out of my tap. And so what does it take to reclaim that trust?
Yeah, Ben, that's a great question. You can tell people that the lead levels come down in the water, that it's safe to drink, that it meets other guidelines, and there are folks in Flint that will never drink tap water again. And that's not to be dismissed or criticized. That's to be understood. That is a reflection of being betrayed by every governmental agency that was supposed to protect you. People were told in Flint that everything was fine, everything's fine, everything's in compliance, everything is safe, when it wasn't, and when those folks knew that it wasn't safe. So that trust is going to take a long time to come back. It's going to take a long-term investment in the resources needed to mitigate this crisis, but it's also going to take accountability. And accountability in Flint is nowhere near complete. The criminal charges were dismissed. Those are being restarted. For the people of Flint, that feels like justice denied, and the civil cases haven't reached settlement yet. I think when there is an element of accountability, then there'll be a sense of restorative justice, and that will absolutely help with healing and recovery and the rebuilding of trust. I never used to answer these questions about like lawsuits and accountability and prosecutions, but as a doctor, it impacts healing, it thwarts healing, it makes it really hard for people to move on.
And I want to circle back a little bit too, because the EPA is in the midst of reviewing its lead and copper rule, I think taking it down to 15 parts per billion.
They're keeping it at 15 parts per billion. So the EPA, under the Safe Drinking Water Act, has the lead and copper rule, which was really one of the cruxes of this problem. It's a very weak rule. The rule never intended us to have lead-free water. It has an action level of 15 parts per billion, which is not at all health-based. The science has not caught up with the policy. The EPA has proposed revisions to this rule, which does not lower the action level, nor does it mandate the replacement of our lead pipes in the nation. Michigan has learned its lessons. Michigan has adopted a model lead and copper rule. We are now, as a state, mandating the replacement of all of our lead pipes within the next 20 years, and Michigan is doing better sampling to detect lead in water and lowering that action level eventually. So it can be done. It even has an economic benefit when you do this work, but the federal government needs to catch up.
I feel like in the initial answer to my first question, you were kind of trying to subvert this narrative around maybe negativity of looking at kind of Flint and Flint kids and saying, oh my God, it's so terrible. Can you maybe talk about, you know, what are the hopeful things?
Good job, Ben. You definitely got where I was trying to go. There's a whole chapter in my book called Prescriptions for Hope. And we as a community have rolled up our sleeves since this crisis happened to make sure that our kids not only recover but thrive. Our kids in Flint have heard the same thing that's been on the national media. They've heard lead and brain damage and neurotoxicity and irreversible neurotoxin. So we have been trying to put into place everything for our kids to not see those consequences. So we have been prescribing hope, and we don't use that word lightly. It has been realized with all the amazing interventions that we have been put in place.
Thank you so much.
You bet.